Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. Oh boy, this is a good one. I'm here with Mr. Anthony Buongiorno. Anthony, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you for your respectful silence, waiting for me to say the word welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
As if. I am doing fantastic because today you and me are talking about a film.
A classic.
On today's show, we are talking about the classic film, Clueless, from 1995.
Let's talk about our history with this film.
I'd love to.
You and I saw this together as young tykes.
In the movie theater.
In the theater.
In 1995, I was 12.
And I was 9.
You might be saying, well, how'd you guys go to the movies? Well, it was a different time,
kids. It was 1995.
They let children into the movies.
And Mike and I grew up a block away from a movie theater house.
So right.
So often on a Saturday, we would go to the movies together.
Right.
Saw a lot of stuff.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of inappropriate stuff.
Yeah.
Not that this is necessarily inappropriate. It's not. But we would see what was going, what was playing.
It was being hyped up. We liked it. It was a cultural phenomenon. And it was being hyped up like crazy on MTV.
Yes.
So that's how we knew to go see it.
Yes.
It was the ad campaign for Clueless on MTV is something that I'd forgotten about, but I rediscovered through YouTube.
Right. They did like shorts. Interstitial shorts. Yeah.
Which I sent you one earlier today.
Yes.
They're fun. They're cute.
Yeah.
What do you say about where do we begin?
So
we saw it when we were children. We both loved it right away. How many times do you think you've seen it since? Because I would say conservatively 1 million times I've seen it.
Well, I'm going to try to give a real answer.
I've seen it at least
23.
I feel like I've seen it at least 50 times.
Okay. I've seen it so many goddamn times.
I know pretty much every line.
Right. Like, typically when we do an episode, if it's on a film or something, I'll watch it twice if I can and then take copious notes.
This time you didn't need to.
I just watched it today, and it wasn't even the first time this year that I watched it.
Yeah, no,
some notes just so we have some things to talk about.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did.
But
you and I watched it just last summer at Janine's. We did a screening of it. That was last summer, wasn't it?
Was it?
Was I there? Yeah.
I've seen it twice at the Alamo.
You were there.
I saw it, one of the best Alamo screenings was they did a movie party of Clueless.
Ooh, that's fine.
And like everyone is shouting out all the lines. People know the music. It's so iconic, especially for millennials. Millennials love this movie.
Yeah.
It was such a fun time to see it with an audience. It's also like when you see things for a long time on TV or VHS, you
miss the subtleties.
You miss what's funny. Like people were like uproariously laughing in the theater that I saw it in. It's not Paul Rudd's first movie, but it is. I feel like it's the movie that gave us Paul Rudd.
It is.
It's his first like big,
and he's so adorable in it.
Yeah, people talk about him not aging because he looks so good, but if he definitely has aged because you look at him in this and he looks so young.
Yeah, he's the one who says the title.
Yes. Well, they said a few times.
He's the first, isn't he?
No, the first is when they first meet Ty.
Oh, you're right.
She's so clueless.
Yeah.
Right? And then he
says, you met someone even more clueless than you.
Right. And then she says, I'm clueless.
Yeah.
Well, it's based on Emma, right? By Jane Austen.
It's based on Emma by Jane Austen, an 1815 novel.
I'm a
pretty big Austen head. It is shockingly faithful.
Yeah, I haven't read Emma, but I saw the Anya Taylor-Joy Emma a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
She really captured, the plot is very faithful, but she also captured the tone.
Right.
And the character. So the character
Which
of
is
Emma
amazing.
Is, I have the first line of the novel here because it's one of her famous first lines. Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, and rich, with a comfortable home and a happy disposition, had lived nearly 21 years in the world with very little to distress or vex her. So it starts with like this 21-year-old girl who's rich and happy, and she's had very little strife at all in her life.
Right.
And this is who the story is about. And she once, Jane Austen at the time said, the heroine of my next novel will be someone that not a lot of readers will like. Which is interesting because I do think she's lovable.
Right, right.
Despite being rich and kind of like privileged.
Well, speaking of Cher, I think Cher's lovable.
No, yeah, I think they both are. I mean, that character is lovable.
Right, because she's vapid, right? And she's obviously privileges things like looks and stuff, but she is empathetic to other people. She's not mean to people. She's not an unlikable character. Now, I do find myself watching it lately thinking I don't like Dion as much, but I wonder if that's reflecting the actress who plays her and how much she's become a shitty person in reality.
Yeah.
But Dion isn't as nice as Cher.
She's not. And Dion is the one who's always like, oh, come on, Cher. Like, we don't need to befriend this girl.
Right, right.
Like, our stock would plummet.
She asked Dion, would you say I'm a good person or whatever? Or
not to your face.
Would
you say I'm a bad person?
Yeah,
not to your face.
Not to your face. Yeah. She's more of a kind of a mean girl.
That's the thing. I was thinking about what we could talk about. And I think one of the questions with any movie, but this one especially as a teen movie, is like, what makes this so enduring and such a classic?
Yes.
I think it is, it has stood the test of time. I think it will be, even though Mean Girls is now a huge thing, uh-huh. I think ultimately this will have more longevity than Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is partially because, or in large part because actually, it's a very kind.
Yes, movie. I think so. Yes.
It's very nice. Like, it's truly a feel-good movie.
Right.
And it's about, and a lot of this is because of Alicia Silverstone's brilliant performance.
Yes.
She's just such a lovable character.
Yeah.
That you, like, are rooting for her the whole time.
Right.
And then she learns the lessons she needs to learn and becomes a better person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, you're like, oh, she started off naive but well-intentioned and then grows into somebody who's less naive and still well-intentioned.
Right, right. Yes, it is a feel-good movie, and it is a kind movie. Even the mugger, when he mugs her, he's like, thank you, and when he runs away.
It's an Alaya and a Whata. It's just a totally important designer.
I'm totally going to shoot you in the head.
I think my hot take on that is after rewatching that scene, I think that the Sex and the City Carrie being mugged scene was just lifted right from that.
Wow. Shots fired.
It's a great scene. And she's so good with, like, Alicia Silverstone does so many good, like the little whimpers are so good.
I looked up her age today because I was like, how old was she?
She was super young.
She was only 18 when she made this.
Yeah.
She's like genuinely really young when she made this, but she's doing such a competent job.
Have you read anything about, like, so I read, there was a book that came out for the 20th anniversary called, like, it was like an oral history of Clueless.
Oh, and I
used
to read that.
I don't have it anymore, I don't think, but I read it.
Uh-huh.
And Amy Heckerling talks about, like, why she wanted her for the role.
Uh-huh.
And she said that it was an endearing thing that she did when they went out to lunch to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
I know this is not a visual medium, but she said that Alicia Silverstone was, like poised and, like, presenting herself as, like, very adult.
Uh-huh.
But the soda was on the table, and she, instead of picking the soda up and drinking it like that, she would, like, stoop down and drink it from the straw on the table.
Adorable.
And she, like, which was such, like, a little kid thing
yeah.
to do. So she was, like, she's so perfect because she's, like, thinks she's a grown-up, but she still acts very much like a child. Like, she has a childish
right,
quality.
Right, that's one of the reasons why you root for her, because you feel like she doesn't understand the world, but she takes care of her father. She's nice to her father.
Yeah. And the Hadians also was actually Alicia Silverstone.
Well, really?
And nobody, Amy Heckerling said, nobody tell her.
There's so many mispronunciation jokes that I didn't get as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Hadians was her. Because it's supposed to be, the line was the Haitians.
Yeah. And she calls Spartacus.
Sporadicus.
Sporadicus. She calls Billie Holiday
a him. Yeah. But yeah, her performance is, she's very, for an 18-year-old, she gives it a, even, I notice it more like now as rewatching it as an adult, like even like the little things, like her facial expressions
yeah.
when she's reacting to other characters
yeah.
are so funny. Like she's got like the wide-eyed thing down and like she,
yeah,
when
yeah,
she
yeah.
like, she'll like when the DMV guy's yelling at her and she's like nodding. And it's just like very, she's very cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Bobby and I, Maisie, our dog, we like, do her voice like we do her talking. And
sure,
she's very, our dog is very like Cher Horowitz, like that's her character. Like, we always have her say, like, okay, daddy, and things like that.
We do the voice of Peach more kind of like a Vegas ring-a-ding kind of, like, she'd be like, hey, daddy.
That's so interesting.
Like, I love you, daddy.
I wish there should be a study done of, like, why people choose the personalities they do for their dogs.
Right.
Ours from the beginning has been, like, she's Cher Horowitz. She calls us daddy, and she's, we always say, she's always like, okay, daddy, and then, like, changes the subject, like Cher does. Like, when he's, like, when he's yelling at her for getting a ticket. And she's like, second notice. I don't remember getting a first notice. And he's like, Cher, I expect you to become a good driver. And she goes, okay, daddy. Yeah.
Or what he's like, what are you wearing? She's
a dress.
And she's like, duh, I was going to go put something else on.
Dan Hedaya giving the performance of his career.
I'm a well-documented Dan Hedaya head. And this is incredible performance by him. And again, also sweet and kind. Like, when Josh is like, I'm going to go to the party. And he's like, I'll keep an eye on her. And he sort of smiles knowingly because he could tell that Josh likes her. Josh
has a crush on her, yeah.
And even like that he stays in Josh's life because you don't divorce children, you divorce wives. Like, that's such a sweet thing. And even like getting the teachers together is like, it's manipulative and it's, she wants a better grade, but it's also sweet.
Yeah. And she ultimately wants them to be together.
Yeah.
She likes them that they're happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love, it's so many things like that were introduced to me through this movie that like later in life, I'm like, oh, that's what that's from. Like the Shakespearean sonnet.
Yeah,
rough
yeah.
winds do shake the darling buds of May.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I didn't get the joke, which is, where'd you get that? Cliff's Notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a totally quimus quote from what? Cliff's Notes.
Or I never got that Travis stops smoking weed and goes into like NA or MA. Because he's like, he apologizes. He's like, I'm part of a club where I have to apologize.
Yeah. And there's like all these steps. And she's like, 12? Yeah. How'd you know?
Yeah. I didn't get that when I was younger.
I didn't get any of that when I was a kid. I didn't get like that he was bringing her bongs.
Right.
I didn't get any of that.
Right.
But
I still
was able to enjoy it. Which I think says a lot. I think it is one of those movies that like kids like it and adults like it.
Yeah.
And again, there's very little in it that's mean-spirited.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't.
Even when she finds out that like, what's his face is gay.
Christian
is gay. It's not, then they just become friends.
Yeah.
Like, it's sweet. And there's no like gay shaming him.
No.
Even when, I mean, like, there's a little bit of it when he's like,
he's a cake boy,
whatever. But even him, he's like not bullying him and being like homophobic.
The only thing that doesn't stand up is Cher uses the hard R word.
Oh, she does. Yeah.
She's
like,
I am so R worded.
Yeah.
I
am such a, I know that exact scene when she's,
and when you watch it now in a theater, people are like, okay.
Yeah.
but everything else stands out fine.
I packed my father my peach Snapple and I took his sucky Italian roast.
Wallace Shawn, a gem.
He is.
And then Ms. Geist, played by
Twink Kaplan.
What a name. What
from
an actress.
From Look Who's Talking,
also directed by Amy Heckerling.
Yeah, she's really good friends with Amy Heckerling in real life.
Amy Heckerling directed
Fast Times. You know what's interesting?
Which is like itself a seminal teen movie.
Yeah, but these two films are so tonally different.
No, they're totally different. Yeah, it's just interesting that she twice, like in two different generations, made an important teen movie.
And what's interesting is she said that Spicoli, she said what people, when she was thinking about what to write or whatever for this, the project, she said what people liked about Spicoli was that he was positive.
Uh-huh.
So she was like, I wanted to write a character who was happy. And then I thought about Emma, which I read in college.
I think Travis, played by Breckenmeyer, is a little Spicoli.
Yeah.
That's the only kind of connection that I would see.
But yeah, Fast Times has a much, I think Fast Times is much more, and maybe that's the source material, but it's much more,
it lays pregnancy.
It's much more, what's the word? It's like, I don't know, it's not as nice.
There's something caustic about
it. Yeah,
yeah.
Cautionary.
Yeah.
And a little bit like, I don't know. By the end, the characters feel like jaded.
Yeah. This is much sweeter, yeah.
Yeah. Cynical was the word I was looking for. Yeah, yeah, I feel like it's a bit more cynical.
We can go through it. It begins with, the soundtrack is great. It begins with I guess it's a cover of Kids in America.
Yeah.
And you see this montage of people doing things. She's like, what is, you must be like, is this a
Noxzema commercial or what?
90s, what's funny, this is something that I like to track in movies from the 80s and 90s, which is they don't know what computers are or how they work.
Yeah.
So like the way her computer like figures out her what she's going to wear, her outfit, is that's not how computers work.
I also saw a meme recently that was like, why did we never realize as kids that the computer just took two items that match each other and put them together?
Right, right. Like,
it's not, it doesn't take a computer to say,
right, right. Why does she need a computer match at all?
Yeah.
Well, what do you, you're someone who
the soundtrack is
interested in like fashion, right? What do you think of her? Some her first look in it is the yellow
plaid. The looks in this movie are iconic.
Yeah,
and they have been played with so many times, including in like the remember the I'm So Fancy video.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, it's what I think. So I was thinking about what makes this movie endure. I think it's also that the look, the fashion, is unique, and it's like not of a time period, so it becomes timeless. Uh-huh. And the same thing for the slang, because all the slang was made up.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is something I didn't know until I read it from Amy Heckerling. So really? She specifically said, I want to use made up slang so that it never gets dated.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because then As If and Whatever like became things in the 90s. But that was all her. None of that was real slang.
That's so fascinating.
And I'm Outie, that was her.
Wow. But people said buggin'. That was in the African American community.
That's a real one.
But when she's, that's another thing that I think doesn't maybe totally hold up. When she goes, I'm so buggin', like people seem to laugh at it at that moment. Although it might have been that was what they were aiming at too. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the film's politics are, I think they're pretty okay. I don't think this movie's like dated, other than like the R word and stuff. But like,
no, not really.
It's pretty progressive in its way. I mean, her best friend is a black character.
Yeah, yeah.
There's equal
representation.
There's
crazy.
Equal
that
representation between the black characters and the white characters for the most part. Yeah, the
Dion's hat is crazy.
But I love the way that
they make fun of it. She makes a joke about
chopping with Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
And she says, at least I didn't skin a collie to make my backpack.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I also wrote down just a lot of classic lines.
So good.
Don't tell me those brain dead low lives have been calling.
They are your parents.
That's fun.
I love right at the top. It's got such a strong beginning.
Yes, it does.
Right at the top when you see him, Dan and Dea coming down the stairs, and the maid screams and runs away.
Right, everyone's afraid of Mel.
Everyone's afraid of him, but not. But what does she say? She's like, but he's not. I'm not afraid of him because I'm his daughter. Yeah. So it's really cute.
The Hades. She's in debate class, which is what Wallace Shawn teaches.
Yeah.
The Hades thing is interesting because it shows that she's naive because she's saying Hades wrong.
Yeah.
But it shows that she is empathetic.
Yeah. And I love and she's talking. That's one of the best lines. She's talking about some little party. Hello, it was his 50th birthday.
Yeah. Amber is crazy because she's almost like a parody within the movie.
Yeah.
Everything about her is more extreme than every other character. Yeah.
And she's also like a weird, like, you can never really tell if she's her friend or enemy.
Right, right, right.
And then in the show, she becomes a main cast member and is like a friend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, I gotta say, I have no knowledge of the show.
I watched it when it was on. I've never rewatched it or revisited.
Jen was a fan of the show when it was on.
I forget that there is a show. That was actually remember there was a joke in Girls where somebody mentions Clueless and then another character is like, the movie or the show? And Lena Dunham's like, show. Like, nobody talks about that.
Uh-huh.
It was every cast member except for Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Rachel Blanchard. But it was Dion, it was Daniel Faison, it was the teacher.
Donald Faison.
And Mel was a different character.
Hadea was like, I'm not doing this.
Hadea was not doing that. But no, the Amber, I always thought as a kid was like, why is Amber like in the beginning sequence? Like, they're not friends.
You know what's interesting that I think a young audience wouldn't... It's a joke that wouldn't read as a joke now. When Cher and Dion are talking on their phones and then they meet up and they just start talking.
Yes, because kids do that.
Right. Now. At the time, that was a joke.
That was like a ha-ha, very funny joke.
Yeah.
Because and having now, a cell phone was such a rich thing.
Right. And now that wouldn't read as a joke at all to them.
And the fact that they just both hang up the phone and continue and the conversation. And to keep talking,
right. Which is, right, that's what people do now.
Yeah.
I
always really love when they're on the phone and she's like relaying the conversation to Ty. And then Dion just goes, hello.
Yeah.
I always think it's really funny. Yeah. I like that, like, Dion, like, kind of loses her patience with her sometimes. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be, like, more mature of the two.
Right. She's not a virgin, but she's done everything else.
Yeah.
She's a technical virgin.
Yeah.
I've known so many people like Josh. Like, he's reading Nietzsche with sunglasses on.
It's so much of that humor went over my head as a kid, but now in college and post-college. I love – that's such a great joke, which is like, ugh, freshman psych, rears its ugly head.
Yeah, it's funny that a lot of the shit they say is, like, very knowing and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, Dion says he's in his idealistic post-adolescent
idealistic phase.
Yeah. And it's funny that he's reading Nietzsche. God. And then later on, a similar joke, Christian is reading Junkie by William S. Burroughs.
Yeah.
Because his thing
is like he was out and no, Cher was just too naive to pick up on that he was gay.
But his like whole style, he's like a hipster, but like not like the way we used that term 10 years ago, like an actual 50s hipster.
Yeah.
Like the whole like 50s slang, like you know where the cool clam bakes are. Or, like, and then the great Dan Hedaya line was like, do you think the death of Sammy Davis has left an opening in the Rat Pack?
But it's also like,
what's with you, kid?
It's so funny as an adult, like, the joke is like he's so obviously gay,
and she doesn't get it.
And she doesn't
get
it.
But we don't get it.
But he was reading. I think at one point he's reading Howl. He like brings over
Tony Curtis. He brings over
some like in Hot and Spartacus.
He loves Tony Curtis.
Yeah, it's and then even when she's like trying to hit on him, you see him make a face. Like,
you see him get it.
You know I'm gay.
You see him get it. Then he goes, you know what? I'm tired. I gotta go.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's
and the part when he's still dancing and it's like him dancing with the one guy.
Yeah, or like he's like, oh, he's so good. He does look how he doesn't even look at other girls.
Yeah,
and little things that you notice, like Paul Rudd clocks him early on too. Like Paul Rudd sees it, he's like,
I love how he calls him the ring-a-ding kid.
Yeah. do you drink?
No, I'm man, cool. I'm cool.
I'm not offering.
Hey man, the protective vibe, I dig. What's with you, kid?
What's with you, kid? I also like when Ty's in his chair. She's like, Daddy, this is my friend Ty. He's like, get out of my chair.
She's so good.
Oh,
Brittany Murphy.
She's great.
That's another joke that went over my head as a kid was when she's like, no shit, you guys got coke here?
Yeah.
Because she says I could use an herbal refreshment.
Right. She's a pothead.
Yeah. And then, oh shit, you guys got coke here?
Yeah. It is one thing to get blazed at a party, but it is another thing
to be fried all day. And then when she's I've never had straight friends before.
Yeah. That's so funny. By the way, did you clock that they say Wallace Shawn is 47 years old?
That's so upsetting.
That character is 7 years older than me.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. That's like, did I tell you, speaking of Cheers, in one of the episodes of Cheers we were just watching, they said Cliff Clavin was 34.
Get the fuck out of here. That's hilarious.
John Ratzenberger is supposed to be in his 30s on Cheers.
I mean, people, there's a lot of reasons for that.
That's so hilarious. Funny.
Travis's last name is Birkenstock.
Yeah,
which is funny.
I love his speech about the most tardies in the class.
Yes,
I'd like to thank the LA City bus driver for taking a chance on an unknown kid.
Yeah,
my mom for never giving me a ride.
Yeah. People at and McDonald's, the
fine staff at McDonald's for making those little McMuffins
without which I
might never be tardy. One of my favorite lines ever is the Donald Faison when he's like, well, some of the verbiage used has may be found lacking. They don't necessarily have misogynistic undertones. Wow, you guys talk like grown-ups.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really good school.
It's hilarious.
I used to know the whole thing. I forgot it. And then the end, he's like proud of himself for having said it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily misogynistic undertone.
I like when he's like, does anyone have anything to say to share? And Travis is like, I guess like when I make fun of my mom's music, it's like my kids will make fun of my music. And he's like, well, tolerance is always good, even when it comes out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. He's like, the way I feel about the Rolling Stones is the way my kids might feel about Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Well, tolerance is always a great lesson, even when it comes out of nowhere.
It is funny. If you've ever taught, you've had moments like that where the kid just says something that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, Donald Faison is Murray.
He's so cute. Like, look, now I'm like, oh, they're so young and cute looking.
Yeah.
He was, I think, also, like, really young. I think Stacey Dash was the oldest. Mm. She looks kind of old. Like, she looks older. In her 20s.
So does Amber. Amber was, she's a grown-ass woman.
Yeah.
Many of the girls in the background all have bandages on their noses.
Yes.
To imply nose jobs.
Nose jobs, yeah. It's like a Beverly Hills joke.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
I love the... I'm just getting a snack with my girlfriends. Where? Kuwait?
Yeah, because of the fucking helicopters.
Is that in the valley?
Julie Brown as Miss Stover, yes. The gym teacher.
Oh my God. It also took me years to figure out that she was a lesbian. Yeah. And that was the joke.
Right.
So at much end, of it I didn't get.
At the wedding at the end, she's wearing a white suit with a black tie.
It's great. In the grand tradition of PE teachers, Miss Stover appeared to be same-sex oriented. And then I love also when she's like, I can't eat, I can't sleep, pretending to have a breakup, and Miss Stoger's going, and they're all like that. Men are all like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny. Cinematically, it's great.
It's got such a tight structure.
Right, it's only 90-something minutes. Yeah. It uses montages really effectively. Every montage brings the narrative forward and expands the world. It's episodic, but it doesn't fall prey to the thing that episodic movies sometimes do, where it feels like there isn't
meandering.
No forward motion. Like, it's episodic, like, you know, there are little, like, there's the tie section when we, and then there's the Miss Geis section with Wallace Shawn. I forget his name, Wallace Shawn?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall. There's the Christian is its own section. Yeah. Later on in the movie.
And then there's also, like, the running thread of, like these rites of passage, like getting your driver's license.
Yes.
And like that's a theme from the beginning. It's like she's working on her driver's license. Yeah. And then like there's a little montage of her arguing her grades up.
Yeah.
Because has a C- average and she argues it up to an A.
Right.
I couldn't be prouder than if they were real grades.
Yeah.
Do you do some extra credit? No.
Would you retake
the midterms? No. You argued your way from a C minus to an A.
Ty and Travis have a meet cute about Marvin the Martian.
Yeah.
They have a very cute relationship through the whole thing. And he's very cute, like the way he looks defeated when he tries to help her at the party. And they're like, get out of here.
Yeah, so sad.
Right. Because she's pushing Elton so hard.
Yes.
And he's such a douchebag.
Right. And she's so naive, she doesn't realize Elton's into her.
Right, and it's so obvious. He, like, is constantly hugging her and kissing her and touching her.
God, Elton, can't you suck?
Right, they play suck and blow.
And he chalks her.
He uses it.
To use a word from a very problematic word from the early 2000s.
Right, right. Well, no, it's a very, like, fun word for a very problematic thing.
Yeah, which is he just kisses her.
Which is sexual assault.
Yeah,
it's so obvious that he likes her. And he keeps the picture. She's like, but you have that picture of Ty. But the picture, it's a picture you took. And he's like, I'm having a Twin Peaks moment.
Yeah, that's kind of a dated reference. But Twin Peaks is really relevant.
Now it's relevant again, so it's fine.
I'm having a Twin Peaks experience.
I just wrote down stuff. Like the Mentos commercial. Mentos full of life. And the turkey sandwich Josh makes. Eagle-eyed fans of this movie have always noticed this. He takes out, like, a thing and it's, like, one piece of bread, one piece of turkey.
Mayo
and then that's
and leaves it all out.
No, yeah. Come on. Come on, Josh.
I also love when she says, is the flannel a nod to the crispy Seattle weather or are you just trying to stay warm in front of the fridge?
Yeah. Fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, their back and forth bickering is a lot of fun.
I really love they're flirting like the night, then they get the food, and then they're watching Beavis and
Butthead.
I like when he's like, do you know what you're talking about half the time? And she's like, no, why? Does it sound like I do?
I actually wrote that down too, because I always love that, because it's she's vulnerable in that moment in the way that she often isn't.
Oh, and then it's so cute when she's trying to get smarter to impress him.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I thought they declared peace in the Middle East.
Right. Now she's like, now that I know
that he likes the news.
Right, right. She's like, now I don't know how to act around him.
Yeah.
Well, what does she say? She says that great thing when she has that revelation. She's like, I'm totally butt crazy in love with him.
It's so cute. And then I love when she's like, he's Josh. He's so annoying, whatever. And then, like, you see the one shot of him, like, looking really hot. And she's like, okay, so he's kind of a Baldwin.
That doesn't...
I know.
That does not stand the test of time. First of all, people are like, there's more than one Baldwin. And the Baldwin who shot somebody.
Although they were hot when they were younger.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Betty's and Barney's. That's great.
Yes, that's fun.
Wasn't she, my mom was, wasn't she a Betty? She died in a freak liposuction accident. Her mom dies in such like a Beverly Hills way.
Right, right, right.
It's so heartwarming when the father's like, who makes sure that, when she's like, I'm just not good at anything.
Yeah.
Like I have no, you know, whatever, I'm good for nothing. And he's like, who makes sure that daddy eats right?
Right.
Who takes care of this house?
Right. Or she's like, I like a boy, he doesn't like me. How is that possible?
I like a boy, so he doesn't like me. How could that be?
How could that be?
It's also just so cute because he's just like, my daughter's the best. Like,
yeah.
Who wouldn't like her?
Yeah.
Oh, if this boy doesn't like you, he sounds like a pretty stupid fellow.
Yeah.
And Cher, why are you dancing in front of my office?
Yeah, right, right. She's very cute with the father. She's a nice person. We haven't said the line when we meet the gym teacher. It's also the same scene we meet Ty. Amber is like...
my tennis instructor.
No.
My plastic surgeon.
Doesn't want it. I can't do any activities with balls are flying in my nose.
There goes your social life. That was like a commercial moment, I remember.
I don't know if I even got that as a kid.
I didn't. But it's also like, it weirdly feels a little bit like tonally off.
Yeah.
But it felt like, oh, this is a trailer soundbite.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to put it in.
Yeah, it's a trailer moment. I was just talking about that in one of the Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, 90s movies are... I heard that. The 90s movies were chock full of like trailer moments.
It's also such a... It feels like a sitcom joke because it's such a perfect setup.
Yeah.
Like her saying that...
Balls fly at my nose. Yeah.
It's such a home run setup.
My tennis coach would rather I not engage with in activities that would derail his teachings.
What about when she was like, I was riding the Crimson Wave.
Yeah. I had to haul ass to the ladies.
I assume you mean women's troubles, and so I will excuse it.
She says you're way existential.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's what she says... Ms. Geist said you're the only teacher in this building with any intelligence.
Right. She says to Josh, Ren and Stimpy is
way existential. That's what it is. It's Ren and Stimpy, not Beavis and Butthead.
Right. And that's when he's like,
do you know what you're talking
about? And then there's Josh's really annoying girlfriend
who's
like quoting
Hamlet. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's taken us at the most fecund point before we can wander through the garden of ideas. That's also a dated joke, but a good one. When she's like, but Cher's right.
Yeah.
When she's like, Hamlet didn't say that. I think I remember Hamlet accurately. Well, I remember Mel Gibson accurately, and he didn't say that. That Polonius guy did. Polonius does say that.
What about when Elton like hits on Cher and he's like, I knew it, and he keeps trying to catch her.
Yeah, it's so gross.
And then he kicks her out of his car. He leaves her there.
He's such a piece of shit.
Do you know who my dad is? You are such
a snob and a half.
Yeah.
I love that her reactions are so great. Like when he says, do you even know who my father is? And she's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, because she's rich and privileged, but at least she knows that like that's a fucking gross thing to say.
Right. It's like, you and me, we make sense together. Me and Ty, we don't make sense.
Yeah, he's so slimy. Elton.
Cher's pink fuzzy pen is iconic.
Yeah. That little montage of like how to make a boy fall in love with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Send yourself chocolates and flowers.
Yeah. Nice stems. I have it written down. I thought you might have an in on the heavy clam bakes. Ridiculous. Let's see.
This is
a full Monet. Okay from far away, but up close is a total
big,
mess.
Big old mess. I love when they're looking at those sculptures, and he's like, this is a very important piece. And she goes, he's way famous.
Yeah. Holiday, I love when him. They go to the party, and Josh is like just talking to some random old dude.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't want to have fun.
He finds, he finds the one adult at the party.
Right, but then he dances with Ty to be nice, and that's one of the things that Cher is endeared to him for.
Yeah.
What
do you think it's weird? I don't think it's that weird that they get together at the end. In the book, in Emma, they are it is her sister's husband's brother. Mm-hmm. So it's her brother-in-law, which is like kind of, I guess, familial.
Well, I think it would be weirder if he did live with them full time. He doesn't. He's just visiting.
Yeah.
He's really just like, you know, he's not part of their family, really.
Yeah.
And
it's cute when the mom calls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they talk about, like, he says that, like, Mel's the only father I've ever really had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in a way, they do, like, share a parent. Kind of. Kind of, but he's not biologically.
You're right. No, it's. I don't think it's weird.
This is California, not Kentucky.
The scene where they accidentally go on the freeway is a great. And it's
great.
The old lady flipping of the bird, yeah. And then the way they're screaming. It's so funny. The way they're screaming the whole way through, and then the motorcycles going around them. It's so funny.
You know, I meant to ask you actually about that joke because I've always been confused by that joke. When she says this is California, not Kentucky, do you read that as because she's young or because they're like siblings?
Because she's young. That's how I read it.
Okay.
Because I don't think she sees a problem with that. It's she wouldn't get married that young.
Okay, okay.
Did you see the thing I sent today? I sent in the group chat.
Which one?
It was how they fake.
Yes. Yeah, that is weird. I never noticed that.
Yeah, like, so you see, like, she's like, well, you guess what happened next, and then you see, like,
A bride and groom,
but if you look at the groom, he's got, like, he looks like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And then when they cut into it closer, you see it's Wallace Shawn. So it tricks you. It's a total fake.
Yeah.
Of course, Rolling with My Homies by Coolio.
Yeah.
Important part of this movie, Murray shaving his head at the party. It's like everything in it is iconic. Oh,
we haven't even gotten to the most iconic line, which is "You're a virgin who can't drive."
Right. We talked about that in our Sick Burns episode.
Sick Burns. Yeah. It is so iconic. The aesthetic is iconic. The looks are iconic. The lines are iconic. I mean, it's really just like one of those movies.
And it's just really well made
and really super unique. Like, there's not a lot like it.
That's true. And it's funny because it seemed to like start a small fad of like modernizing older literature.
Yeah.
But like this really works.
Yeah.
Very well.
It does, because so much of Austin's work in general and Emma is about like the class system, and it just like so translates to high school.
With, yeah.
Like, clicks.
There's the cordless phone 2001 homage.
Yeah, that's really good.
Which, again, I didn't get as a kid.
Yeah. You're like one of those Botticelli. She's one of those Botticelli chicks.
That's yeah.
Another fun, like, little reference. Yeah, that 2001 reference is a deep cut for a teenager.
Yes, yes. Ty, those guys hold Ty over the railing at the mall.
Yeah.
And then Ty starts to thrive in the... And then she's like, well, I know when I was at gunpoint. And then So I was like, excuse me, Ty, you were saying?
Did you hear some gangsters like try to shoot Ty at the mall?
Yeah. That whole part of the film where she's like super vulnerable, she plays it so well. Like even like when she says like you're a virgin, can't drive, like the way she's just is so wounded by it.
Yeah, but she doesn't like...
Way harsh.
And she doesn't like say anything back.
No.
They don't like get into a fight. No. She's just like, you hurt my feelings.
Right. And she
And then even when like they have that like... It's pre-Mean Girls, but like that Mean Girls moment of like Ty's becoming the queen bee.
Right.
She's still like nice to her. She's like, hey, do you want to hang out later?
Right.
Like she's never like, I made Ty, I could destroy her.
She just thinks like, I created a monster.
Yeah.
And what we talked about this during the Sick Burns episode, but like she doesn't deserve it because all she's saying is like, do you think you and Josh like mesh well together?
Yeah.
And she takes it as, do you think I'm not smart enough for Josh? And she's like, no. I find it interesting. I guess it says something about the impressionable, how impressionable young people are. But I find it interesting that clearly Ty likes Travis, and then they push Elton on to Ty, and then she
believes that she loves Elton.
Yeah, and then she's like crying and sad over it. But really, like, they push that so hard on her.
Yeah. In the book, it's Mr. Elton, who's like of a higher class.
Oh, okay.
And she like wants to marry like this lower class guy, but Emma's like, no, you can't. Like, you need to marry up. And then it's like so clear to the reader that Elton wants to marry Emma, but it's not clear to her. It's like very, very faithful.
Yeah. Let's talk about the guy who works for Mel, who calls her like a moron. Yeah. Can you imagine calling to your boss's daughter
a
moron? And a, like, he calls her a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Because she's a, what does he say? He's like,
brain dead. I think
dumb,
it's
he calls her a dumb something.
Yeah. He calls her a bunch of shit.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's, it's out of pocket. It's insane.
It's out of pocket, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, he's like, now we're a day behind because she's an idiot.
Yeah. And then that leads to them kissing on the stairs. She's like, you think I'm beautiful? So cute. She's so cute. And he's so cute.
Hollywood
too.
Did her dirty.
Yeah,
Hollywood
she's
did her
so,
really
she's
dirty.
She's so good in this. And then she was in like that really bad Batman movie
where she got torn asunder because she gained a little weight.
A little weight. Like, really, like...
And, like, headline after headline calling her fat girl, which is, like, so horrible.
Which is insane.
Yeah. I mean, they really did her dirty.
Yeah, it's true. She didn't have the career that she deserved, I don't think.
No.
She did play He-Man's mother on the new... first season of New He-Man, and she says, as if.
Oh, that's cute.
As if. It's funny, because that's so... a thing people still say.
Yeah. That's one of the best scenes, is when she's talking about like how high school boys are just like dogs, and then he just like comes up to her and puts his arm around her and she pushes
Ew,
him away.
Get off me. as if.
Ugh.
She's saving herself for Luke Perry.
I love that. The movie, she Heckerling like uses music really well.
All of the needle drops are so good. Yes.
Like all the music is really good because it's good music, but it also like moves the plot along.
And like I said, all the montages
everything.
Work.
Yeah, really
like,
well.
Right, yeah, because like it will keep going. We've got a narrative going, but it will keep going back to like Cher is addressing the audience about life and her, the life that she lives and the people. Like, I don't mean to be a traitor to my own generation, but I don't understand.
And then the All By Myself, when she's like feeling sad.
Yeah.
The Josh montage.
And then the light comes on the fountain.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love Josh.
Yeah, and that's a cute montage too, where like she's imagining like them laughing together and all that stuff. Yeah. It is sad, because he became an A-lister. And Dan Hedaya is a goddamn legend.
Yeah. And Brittany Murphy's star.
She was
the most successful of the kids.
Yes. I mean, not more than Paul Rudd. But
no.
Had she lived, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even when she died, she was like pretty famous.
Did you watch that documentary about her?
No. Is it true that... So I read a thing that says that like in hindsight, they think that whole family was killed by black mold. Is that true?
Yeah. I think they talk about that in the... Because, and that could also make you crazy, I think.
Yeah. Because then her husband and mother died too.
Yeah. But the husband was a weird... Kathy Najimy is in it. And, well, people think that. Kathy Najimy's in it. And I guess she did some movie with Kathy Najimy when she was young. So Kathy Najimy is like super...
protective.
Love. Yeah. And she is like... In the documentary, she was like, this fucking guy sucks. Like, she became a different person when she met him. She was confident and wonderful. And she became like half herself when she was around this guy.
I remember her getting like really super thin.
But yes.
That might have been because she was a woman in Hollywood in the early 2000s.
Yeah, towards the end she got really...
She was in a bunch
crazy
of like rom-coms and stuff.
She did a lot. She was good. She did a lot. She's in Sin City.
Yeah. She was in Girl Interrupted. She was in Uptown Girls.
What do you think? Do you think Josh and Cher will really have a good relationship?
No. I was actually going to say that before. Like, I don't think... And I don't even think Cher thinks that they're like going to be together forever.
Mm.
But, you know.
She does catch the bouquet at the end.
She does. I mean, I don't think they'll just stay together.
I just think that they essentially won't have enough in common.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're both young and hot, and that sometimes is enough.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about if there's any important, any iconic or important things that we haven't touched on. Is it the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones that they see
yes,
at that party?
Yes.
Yes. All the music
never
in is good.
Never had to knock on
yeah.
wood. And there's that we are young. We live. That's
yeah. So much
we
good
keep
music.
Keep our teeth nice and clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great.
I don't rely on mirrors, so I always take Polaroids.
Yeah, there's so many. There's just so many good lines.
It really is. Like, almost everything out of her mouth.
It's having a little bit of a resurgence. Like, a lot of my kids like it. And
the kids that you teach?
Yeah, like it. And then one girl to graduation.
I was wondering about that.
They love Mean Girls, but they also, a lot of them like Clueless. Well, also like Y2K and late 90s as an aesthetic is like things that like Gen Z is into.
Well, this movie's perfect for it because I don't think any reality really ever looked like this.
And one girl at graduation, her cap was no longer Clueless. And then it was all Clueless pictures
cute.
And stuff. And the background was the yellow plaid.
I'm glad to know that young people do like this movie.
Yeah, I think it's timeless.
Yeah, I think if you get over like certain little things... I mean, the story that it's telling is time. High school kids and, you know.
Oh, we didn't talk about that scene where she takes the road test is a great scene.
Yes.
Girly, as far as you're concerned, I am the messiah of the DMV.
You can't be the be-all, end-all, last word in
driver's
licenses.
Whoops, my bad. Should I leave a note?
That was also in the trailer.
Yeah.
She always kills a biker. Yeah. Watch the biker. Pull over, turn over the engine. How'd I do? How'd you do?
And then she's,
let's look.
The cutest part of that is when he says, how'd you do? And she earnestly like nods. Like, yeah, how'd I do?
Like she didn't know. Can we just start again?
You can't park. You can't turn. You can't.
Yeah.
And you almost killed someone. Offhand, I'd say you failed.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I love Dan Hedaya. Two permits do not equal a license.
Yeah.
No cruising with Dion. It's so funny that she says we're both named after former singers who now do infomercials. Like, I think Cher is much more than that now.
Yeah, like, maybe she had a dip in her career at that point.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Because obviously it's like Dionne Warwick and Cher.
Yeah, yeah. Dionne.
I love the, when they're shaving his head.
Yeah.
At the party. Murray. What am I going to tell my grandchildren?
What's the name of his friend? He's like, look at him. He looks
He was
great.
Also in the show.
Was
the
he?
The friend, yeah. You look good, as will you.
Yeah. I'm going to call your mom.
You know what? I'm calling your mother. No, don't call my mom. Don't call my mom.
Yeah. It's also funny because when you're a kid, you know couples that fight all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
And then, I like when she's like, they saw that Ike and Tina Turner movie. And
it's problematic.
Yeah.
And then after they're fighting, Ty's like, I almost lost my buzz. And then Cher's like, I am so baked.
Yeah, I'm totally baked.
Which is hilarious. It is interesting, the casual use of weed in the movie. That seems very contemporary because now weed's not a problem. Now
it's
legal.
And it's also like, I feel like it's a real thing of being like, okay, like it's one thing to like, you get high at a party. You don't like, you're not a pothead though.
Right.
Like, I feel
right.
like I knew kids like that. And I feel like kids, a lot of kids still do have that attitude.
Right. Let's take a lap. Let's take a lap before we.
Oh, I love.
Should
we make a cameo at the Val party?
Yeah.
I still say that. Like, when
everywhere
I'm going to stop by someplace, I say I'm making a cameo. Yeah.
Everywhere in Los Angeles is 20 or is 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I expect you to walk through this door. I'm just having a snack with my friends. I forget that she gets mugged.
Yeah.
She goes through so much hardship.
She does go through so much hardship.
The whole thing where she, like, they're leaving and then she's trying to get him to drive Ty home.
Yeah, it's so like, cringy.
So awkward.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've seen moments like that in real life.
Yeah.
There's some, obviously it's comedic and it's a little broad, but there's got to be truth to it because watching it now as a 40-year-old man, things stand out to me as like, I remember things like that.
Yeah. Also, like, just the desperation, I guess that's the wrong word, but, like, the naivete of, like, he clearly doesn't want to hook up with Ty.
Right. And she's trying to push it so hard.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she thinks, like, he's just being, like, a stupid boy.
Right,
but
right.
But really, he's just, like, purposely trying to drive her home.
Right. Yeah, he so obviously likes her. It's crazy that she doesn't understand it. But that's the thing. That's the title. She's clueless.
Yeah.
She's clueless to how obviously gay Christian is.
Yeah, and then I like when she says, like, she has that line about, like, I'm going to do a makeover, but this time I'm going to make over my soul.
Yeah.
It's for the Pismo Beach disaster relief. I don't think they need your skis.
Daddy, some of these people lost everything including sportswear.
Sporting equipment.
This is your influence, Josh.
I like that scene where, like, Miss Geist, she's, like, thinking about, like, all the positives in her life. And she's like, and Miss Geist just always wants to help people. And then she raised her hand and she's like, Miss Geist, I'd like to help.
And she's like, and Dion and Murray are so nice to each other when no one's watching.
Yeah.
There was never a sequel to this movie.
Thank God.
Well, thank God. But it seems, looking back, it seems wild that one wasn't attempted. Unless there was an attempt that never happened.
I think if it had been made even a couple years later, there would have been a straight to video or straight to DVD sequel.
Oh, one of those. Probably
like Mean Girls 2.
Oh, God. I forget that there's a Mean Girls 2.
Have you
seen Mean Girls 2? Is once. It about anything? Is anyone
I
think
I
in
watched
it?
The first 30 minutes. It's the only person who's in it is Tim Meadows.
That's...
is the principal. Tim Meadows has been in every Mean Girls movie.
Wow.
It is wild what we... Did you read about this bullet that we dodged?
No.
This proposed reboot?
Of Clueless?
Yes.
No.
So listen to this. This... I rolled my eyes so fucking hard when I read this. Uh-huh. In October 2019, it was announced that CBS would be adapting the film into a drama series. The series was said to be centered around Dion Davenport after Cher goes missing and is described by Deadline Hollywood as, here was the pitch for it, a baby pink and bisexual blue-tinted tiny sunglasses wearing oat milk latte and Adderall-fueled look at what happens when the high school queen bee Cher disappears and her lifelong number two, Dion, steps into Cher's vacant Air Jordans. On August 14th, 2020, it was moved. It sounds like they were trying to, like, Riverdale it.
Yeah, it sounds like Riverdale.
On August 14th, 2020, it was moved to NBC Universal streaming service Peacock. And in May 2021, it was reported that the series would not be moving forward at Peacock.
Thank God.
So we dodged that bullet. That sounds... it also sounds like some, like, 40-year-old was like, let's put together every, like, cool, edgy buzzword. And, like, this is going to be so fucking sick.
It just
sick.
Seems like
the young
such a
kids are
going to
love it. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did a TV show. I don't think I've seen a single frame of the
that
TV
was a,
show.
You know, that was originally a TGIF show.
Was it?
Yeah. The first season was TGIF.
Was the tone anything like the movie?
It was... No, it was... The tone was, like... It had the same aesthetic as the movie.
Yeah.
So the first season is... The first season was on TGIF. I remember watching the pilot when it was on. Because I was like, oh my God, I love Clueless. It's a Clueless show. And Twin Kaplan was in the first season. While Sean was in the first season.
Okay.
Everybody but Alicia Silverstone, Paul Rudd, and Brittany Murphy were in it.
Mm.
The Thai character isn't in it because it takes place before.
So it's before the movie.
Yeah. And it was...
Is Josh Dion's
in it? Josh is in it for the pilot, but I don't think he comes back. He's played by a different actor. It was on TGIF. Then I think it was moved to, like, UPN for the second season and third season.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like same aesthetic, but, like, low budget.
Was it a three camera?
And I think Julie Brown was in it too. No, it was single camera.
Oh, okay.
That's surprising. It was very cartoony and broad and, like, silly TGIF family.
Oh, it only came out 1 year later.
Yeah. The theme song is pretty good.
A follow-up to a blockbuster movie of the same name following the rich teenager Sharon and her friends in the Beverly Hills. Rachel Blanchard. What do we know her from? What else
she was
done?
In The Rage Carrie 2. And she kind of looks like Alicia Silverstone. That's what we know her from.
She was in Road Trip with... Tom Green.
Yeah. I mean, she was a pretty good Cher.
She related to Rowan Band?
I don't know.
Just an old man, doesn't know anybody's name.
It was on for, I think, two or three seasons.
How old is Stacey Dash? She was born in 1976.
So in 1995, she was... She was 19.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought she was older.
I thought she was older, too. David Lasher as Josh. I've seen this guy in other
things. Yeah, he's like a TV guy.
Donald Faison is Mary. Amber's the same person.
I'm not sure if Twin Kaplan stayed on past the first season.
Doug Sheehan.
Oh, they changed Mel too. Mel was a different actor in the second season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Oh, you're right. Yeah, he was both. Those Doug Sheehan played him, and then Michael Lerner.
Yeah, I'm sure if I watched it now, I'd be like, "This is absolutely horrible." But as like a 9 year old, I was like, "Oh, this is good," because it's on TV. Of course, it's good. It's right. Like on Big Mouth when they're like, "Of course, it's gonna be good. It's a movie."
Right. What's like an episode? Can you remember a single episode's plot?
Not one.
I'm gonna look up not a single one. Episode.
It's. I know it was silly and goofy.
Clueless trivia. Clueless 1995 was originally conceived as a TV show, but made into a movie first.
Oh, that's true. I did know that. That's and it was originally called No Worries.
That's a shitty title.
Yeah.
62 episodes over...
God, was it 3 seasons or 4 seasons?
Yeah, 3 seasons. Could you believe it? All right. Season 1, episode 1. As if a girl's
reach
should exceed her grasp. That's rough. Miss Geis is helping Cher, and so she recommends that Cher anonymously fill in as Miss Buzzline, the advice column.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. It's like Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say that. Well, there's no tie in it.
Or if there is, I don't think she's a major character.
Oh, Breckin Meyer's in it, though.
Yeah, a lot of them were in it, especially in the beginning.
I could see why. I could see doing it. I could see, like, if I was...
They probably got paid pretty well.
Director
Amy. It was on Heckerly? ABC.
She directed, like, episodes?
Did she?
Looks like she did. Good for her. She needed that money.
I mean, TJF was...
Oh, like... he played somebody different. Breckin Meyer, who played Travis in the movie, guest stars as Harrison, a teen with a secret crush on Cher.
That's interesting. I mean, I guess at the time in the 90s, like, to get a show on TJF was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That block. It's so crazy that, like, Friday night was such a...
Right, because it's even, but both before and after that, it's classically thought of as like a real dead time.
But you know what always shocks me is if you look back to like some of the greatest shows of the '70s, they were all on Saturday night. Saturday night used to be a big TV night.
That's crazy.
Like I think All in the Family was on Saturday night.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think we've said it all. Is there anything else important just to say what a about great,
if you if for some reason, listener, you haven't seen Clueless, run, don't walk.
To see Clueless.
What's wrong? You will love it. I don't think I've ever met anybody that doesn't like it.
I had to ask Jen. I was like, is it okay if I do this episode without you? Because she really loves it.
And I mean, I would have been okay if you did it with her, but I feel like because we saw it together.
Yes, we did see it together. We were there. We were in... Before it was cool.
I remember like asking mom if we could, were we allowed to go see it?
I guess it seemed
because I think it was it rated R?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was it rated PG-13? I mean, there's drug use in it.
We also saw Scream like the year later and you were like, fucking, how old?
10.
It's, things are crazy back then, kids. What am I looking at? Oh, what it's rated?
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like IMDb doesn't give you that, even though it should.
I'm sure a simple Google search.
Well, if you want to fucking...
Clueless...
What was Clueless rated?
Rating. It was rated...
I bet it's PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's a teen party where there's drugs and passionate kissing in the background. She tries to have... I mean, I don't know if it would still be rated PG-13. There's robbed at gunpoint. I remember the part of the marketing was true. Some of the marketing was like from the director of Fast Times.
That makes sense.
And I remember I remember having a conversation with her where we were asking her if we could go because I remember her being like, I don't know. Fast Times is kind of like an adult movie.
It is kind of. There's definitely... Children shouldn't see Fast Times. I don't know. Actually, yeah. I don't think... I'm someone who doesn't give a shit what children see. Like, as a kid, I saw everything, and it had no effect on me.
There is a scene in that. I remember seeing that as a child, and there's a scene where she goes to get an abortion. And,
yeah.
And, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should show kids. We should. Times to kids.
Yeah.
so they know abortions are cool and awesome.
And great and legal. Yeah, absolutely. Or used to be.
All right. Well, this has been Pop Culture Man Show.
Oh, sorry. Can I ask you one more question before we go? Sure. So Jen is a huge Clueless head.
She loves Clueless. And loved the show, too.
Maybe we should do an episode on the show, and she could be our Sherpa for that.
You would have to... I would have to either watch the whole show, which feels like something that can't happen.
Does she still watch it?
No. But okay. She watched it enough.
I mean, I watched it, too. We're the same age, so we were both around, like, 9 or 10 when it came out. Right, right, right.
I was out... I was going out crushing
puss. You're out fingering so many girls.
I said crushing puss. Well, you were like, let's watch TGIF. All right. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.